Sometimes the journey is laden with obstacles. And you all, we all have thoughts about the things that we go through. Will this prayer ever get answered? Will we ever be done with this season of life? It's time for us to move past that and celebrate the goodness of God. Today, it's faith, friends, and chocolate. And I don't know about you, but I say, let's start with chocolate. What do you all say? Yes, yes. We're going to start with chocolate today. Maggie, get us started with some wisdom on chocolate.
Oh, it's an important topic, Monica. And I think the strength is the ability to be able to take a Hershey bar, break it into four pieces, and only eat one.
Only eat one of the four pieces.
That's real power.
I want to know, how about you all? Could you break a Hershey bar into four pieces and only eat one square?
No.
Raise your hand if you could. Oh, there we go. Let's give her a hand. Yes, yes. Lisa, how about you? Give us some wisdom here on chocolate.
Okay, I have one. You know, the doctor wants us to eat a balanced diet.
Yes.
A balanced diet is having a piece of chocolate in both hands.
So there we have some wisdom on what is a lot of people's favorite. Chocolate usually makes everybody happy. So now that we've heard a little bit of wisdom on the power of chocolate, I want us to take a look in the Bible at four faith-filled friends. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to go to Matthew 2, and I'm going to read verses 2 through 5 from the New Living Translation. It says, "Soon the house where he was staying," and the "he" that this scripture is referring to is Jesus, "was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'My child, your sins are forgiven.'" So I don't know about you, but I want friends like that. And I want to be a friend like that. These friends understood faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the things that we have not yet seen. And so these four friends had enough faith to say, "We've got this friend that's paralyzed. He's on a mat. He can't get up and walk to Jesus to make his request. But we're going to pick him up and we're going to take him there." And I want to say this, that sometimes in our faith journey, that our burden, our problem, our situation, circumstance, whatever you want to call it, it's so big and it's so heavy that it takes several people to stand in faith together. Because, you know, this trip would have been hard for just one guy. You know, carrying one human person's weight, even if they weigh 110 pounds, it's a lot of weight.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
And I don't know, but you know, if you're paralyzed, you're not able to help. So it's like dead weight, so to speak. Not able to wiggle, to do anything to make that easier. So four friends say, to the paralyzed man, we are going to get you to where Jesus is. And you know, in the presence of Jesus, there's fullness of joy. There's healing, there's power, there's everything that we need. So these four friends had faith. They said, we don't know what's going to happen, right? But we're going to get there. Jesus is there, so we know that the end result is going to be good. These four friends, though, also had to be focused. And this is the thing, as we talk about faith, friends, and chocolate, we've got to have faith. And we've got to have focus. Because, you know, what we focus on in this scripture, and well we should, is the healing. That this man gets healed. And hallelujah for that. We should focus on that. But what about the trip there? Can you imagine as four friends carrying your paralyzed friend on a mat? The weight gets heavy, right? You start having the thought, are we there yet? You might. I mean, they didn't have, that I would know, paved roads like we know. But, you know, there had to be a few divots in the dirt. There had to be a few things where there might have been the opportunity to turn an ankle. There might have been a moment of, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? Have you ever been on a faith journey and just wondered, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I did not think that I was signing up for this, but apparently I signed up for it. They might have had silent conversation in their heads, because you know how we are. We don't always say everything out loud, right? You know, we're with our faith-filled friends, and we're like, we're going to only say, you know, what everybody's okay with. But they might have thought in their heads, well, what if we get there? What if people laugh at us? That's focus. That's keeping on your journey. That's what that is. When distractions, when obstacles come up, when things come up, we have to not only have faith to know that he is who he says he is, we've got to have focus that we believe that we can make this journey regardless of what comes up. And then they get there. You know how it is, like when you take a trip and you finally get there? Don't you just kind of, right? Yay, we're here. We're at the house where Jesus is speaking. And what does the word say? There are so many people, you can't get through the front door. And so while faith is wonderful, and while Jesus is wonderful, we've got to know that sometimes the journey is laden with obstacles. And we have to have the focus that says, I'm going to take every thought captive. We have to have the focus that says, no matter what this looks like, I believe. We have to have the focus that says, you know what, even if they laugh at me, even if I look silly, blah, 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 I am going to focus and I'm going to finish well on this journey of faith. So they get to the house. There's yet this more obstacle. So they decide that they're going to dig a hole in the roof. And, you know, we read that in the Bible like it's really easy. So they get there and they dig a hole in the roof right above Jesus' head. Okay, so if you're speaking and this is Jesus and somebody's digging a hole up there, do you not think there's a whole lot of conversation going on in the room? Because whatever the roof is made of, that debris is falling down. It said they dug it right above Jesus' head. So that meant that stuff had to be falling on him or at least near him. And he's speaking the word. He's sharing who he is with these people. And now this meeting is interrupted. So you have to think that these friends have to think, should we damage the roof? I mean, if I came over to your house, I wouldn't damage your roof. What if they dropped him? There had to be some fear and trembling there. I mean, obviously, these four men love this man. It takes love to help carry somebody else's burden. They had to think, should I damage the roof? What if we drop him? He's on a mat. I mean, I don't know how high the roof was, but it's a roof. Had to be enough space at least for people to stand up, right, and have a little bit of headroom. And maybe they would have the thought, what if we get arrested? I mean, I know, you know, they did not like have police stations like we do, but you know, there are consequences if you break into somebody's house and you break into the roof. They had to have those thoughts. And you all, we all have thoughts about the things that we go through. Will this prayer ever get answered? Will we ever be done with this season of life? Will we ever get past the point that we're not always having more month than there is money? You know, we all have these thoughts. Will they laugh at me? Will I fit in? All of these things come to all of us, but we have, the Bible says we have to take those thoughts captives. That is our responsibility. That's not something that you can just pray away. Yeah, of course you pray over your thoughts, but when those thoughts come, nip that in the bud. Take it captive. If you got to say to yourself, it's okay even if they laugh. You guys, it's okay if people laugh. It might not be comfortable, but it happens. The world's probably not going to end. We might feel like it's just horribly uncomfortable, but take every thought captive. When that thought comes that this season is never going to be over, when that thought comes that maybe you'll never be healed, when that thought comes that maybe that marriage won't ever be restored, when that thought comes that maybe my child just is not going to be able to do okay in school, take that thought captive. That thought did not come from God. God does not give people those kinds of thoughts. He does not torment us. He does not want us to be fearful. The Bible says all kinds of do not fear. Why? Because we're people and we're prone to fear. If we're on our own, we get really scaredy cat easy. But these men, they have faith and they focus. However they took the conversation that they had on the way, whatever they did with those thoughts, they got to where they were going. Amen. They were determined by faith to have faith, to focus, and to finish. So look with me at Matthew 2, starting in verse 6, and I'll read through verse 12. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? Remember, because he said, my child, your sins are forgiven. They said, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Can you imagine that moment for the man who was able to get up, pick up his mat, and walk? Can you imagine the thoughts and the rejoicing on these friends that took such a sacrifice of their time, a sacrifice of their physical bodies to carry this friend, the sacrifice of digging through a roof? You guys, I can't get over that. They were bound and determined to get their friend to Jesus. Amen. And the thought of Jesus and who Jesus is meant more to them than the roof, meant more to them than the onlookers. And you know, so many times when there is a great move of God, you will have people who respond like the teachers and the religious leaders. It's amazing to me that their thought was, well, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Somebody just dug through the roof. There was probably debris in many places, and they didn't care about any of that. They just wanted to question Jesus. And so sometimes there are people in our lives, and there are people even in churches, and people who wear the name Christian, but they want to question and nitpick everything. And I want to say this to you. It's time to quit nitpicking. It's time for us to move past that and celebrate the goodness of God. It's time for us to understand that on this road of life in a fallen world, that we all have to have faith in Jesus Christ, that we have to focus. We have to be willing. This part is our part to do the hard work of working through obstacles and challenges in terms of like taking every thought captive. That's our part. We do everything we can in the natural, and He does the supernatural. So faith, friends, and chocolate is just a part of life. And we've got to have that faith to start. There are probably many of you sitting right here in the studio right now. There may be many of you watching on television or maybe on the internet, and you haven't had the faith to start. You know, it's one thing to have the concept of faith. It's one thing to know that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's one thing. It's another thing to take what you know to be true and hold it in your heart and move on it. He says when it comes to our children, that children are a blessing from the Lord, that they are an inheritance, and He gives parents the charge to pray and care for our children. When those thoughts come that our children are driving us crazy, it's up to us to take that thought captive. Our children are our children, and they do not drive us crazy. They do not drive us crazy. I've heard parents say to their children, "You're going to be the death of me." You all, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say you're going to be just like so-and-so. Don't say it. Don't say it. Take the thought captive. When thoughts come that you'll never be able to get ahead on your finances, take that thought captive. Be honest about where you are in your finances, but take that thought captive and believe that God is able to supply every need, and that His word says that He will bless and crown the work of our hands with His success. Start praying that. Take those negative thoughts that nobody likes you, those thoughts that you don't fit in, take those thoughts and begin to say, "God's favor surrounds me as a shield." Begin to say that you are blessed in your coming and in your going. This faith journey is hard for all of us. Every one of us, if we went around the studio, would have a story to tell about a problem that we've got right now, maybe about a heartache, maybe about a wish or a dream. You guys, faith is a journey. We don't get there till we get to heaven. Until then, we're all learning and growing and processing. And the Bible says to us to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, not to find fault. You all, we all have so many shortcomings. But in Christ, we stand pure, holy, faultless, blameless, as if we have never sinned. That is how we stand in Christ. So when you get up in the morning, or if it's the afternoon or it's the evening, whatever it is that's before you, do it by faith.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And when challenges come your way, focus, focus, focus. Focus on the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Focus on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Focus on the one who has said he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He said he won't ever, ever, ever. We're not just holding on to him, you all. He's holding on to us. His word says that our names are engraved in the palm of his hand, and he is not going to forget us. So if you hit that divot in the road, you know how it is. You get stuck in traffic. You get something that you just weren't thinking was going to happen that comes your way. I say to you in Jesus' name, have faith. Focus. Start declaring his word. Determine right now in your life, in your heart, that no matter what happens, that you are going to finish. And I want to give you a challenge today, and I'm just going to call it the friend challenge. Make a commitment to be the kind of friend like one of these four friends. That if you've got somebody in your life that has a burden that is so big it cannot be bore by themselves, that you're determined to help them have faith, that you're going to help them to focus, and you all, that all of us, by faith in the great and matchless name of Jesus Christ, that we are going to finish and that we are going to finish well. You know, chances are we're not going to ever need our friends to help us break through somebody's roof. I mean, I pray not, because I would be afraid to even go up the ladder. But hey, if I got to do it, I'm going to do it. But I think we're not going to ever need somebody to break through somebody's roof. But, you know, if we will surround ourselves with, and if we will be the kind of friend that has faith, yes, that has focus, and that has the determination to finish, then there is nothing that will be impossible to us. Mm-hmm. We will walk in a totally new realm. Up next, in just a moment, we're going to have a panel discussion right here. And Jennifer McGill, who's a recording artist, her latest project is Unbreakable. She's going to join me. And Angel, where are you, Angel? Raise up your hand. Angel Richardson is here. And she's going to join us in that panel discussion. And Angel is going to talk about her faith. And she's going to talk about her two beautiful children, both of whom are cancer survivors. And we are going to celebrate her faith, her focus, and her determination to finish well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you like to be a part of a Bridges Studio Audience production? Visit monicaschmelter.com/calendar to sign up.
You can purchase a copy of today's show for $15. Call us at 615-754-0039. Or send a check to the address on your screen. Be sure to mention the program number.
If you are just joining us today on Bridges, we are talking about faith, friends, and chocolate. And we've been talking about how important it is to have faith, to be able to focus and take every thought captive, and to have the determination to want to finish. And so this is a wonderful panel session that we're going to have, and sitting next to me is Angel Richardson. Welcome.
Hello. Good to be here.
And Jennifer McGill, it's always good to have you as awesome a part of the Bridges show. And so Angel is a wonderful wife and mom, and she has two beautiful children. And I asked her to share her faith story with us about her children being diagnosed with cancer. So Angel, that had to be a really hard thing for you, and I'd love for you to share that faith process with us.
Well, yes, it was a very traumatic experience, just to say the least, because there's a lot of trauma in it, especially with my daughter. She was born with and diagnosed first, and just stepping out and already knowing that God is the keeper. You know, and I knew that he would not bring me that far to be able to birth kids, because I wasn't supposed to be able to have children, having cancer myself. So it's like, okay, God, you give me these gifts. So it's like, you have to keep it. It's it's when you talk about your thoughts, taking it all captive, that's very important. When I encourage other people, I always tell them, you have to see yourself there. They may tell you, well, you know, they have this, and my daughter, you know, they talked about taking her eye out and all these other different things. Mm. It's like just trusting God to keep her as he created her, and knowing that in my mind, I had to set my thoughts no matter what it looked like to just trust that he would not leave us there, you know. So it's just taking everything you go through in life and understanding that it's there's more to it than just what you're going through, and just staying in faith to believe that he's going to keep you no matter what, and you'll come out better than how you began, and just holding on to that. It starts in your mind. Plan those trips. Plan those vacations. See your kids growing up. See her singing. See her dancing. My daughter's a dancer.
Yay.
She had cancer in her eyes, you know, and they're telling me she won't be able to see here. You know, and she's doing all those things. And it's just beautiful to see God using my children to show that God is bigger than anything that we go through. You just have to hold on to that, no matter how it feels.
And you and your husband, Jeremy, who's not able to be here today, it had to, as a couple, let's talk about that.
It was quite intense because, you know, you think about why this happened or what this happened. My husband carried a lot of guilt. He thought it was because of him. He had the same diagnosis, you know, and he was like, well, you know, I've done this. No. You know, God is going to keep us. We can't look at that. It's not a what or a why or a how. You have to forget about those things.
Amen.
Because they're irrelevant. That's just distractions, because life is life. We live it.
Yeah.
But we just have to live it, understanding that God is who we go to. He's who we lean on. Mm-hmm. And me and my husband had to remember that we, even though at times we were both weak at times,
yes,
as far as, you know, feeling in our flesh that, you know, this is too hard for us, you know, how are we going to, because me and him lost a lot of connection. I lived basically at St. Jude's. Mm-hmm. He had to stay here and work, you know, so we just had to know, God is good. Yeah. God put us together. We're here. I'm with you. You're with me. So we're going to do this, and just keeping our faith to understand that it was just a season.
Yeah.
And it's made us stronger. And in the short time we've been married, we act like old married couples. You know? So, but it's because of what we've been through.
Yes, yes.
And we've seen each other's weakest points. We've seen each other on each knees crying and not knowing. You know, it's a vulnerable place to be.
It is.
And what was meant to probably break us apart, mess us up, you know, just ended up showing us, you know, even more while we're together.
That's right. Quite a faith story, and you can see in that story how they focused and they took those thoughts captive and had that determination to finish. Jennifer.
Well, personally, I'm dealing with the first few months of my mother-in-law finding out and starting to battle ovarian cancer. And I know that my husband's family has at their fingertips the ability to worry. And when I was pulling from what you were saying, Monica, with Matthew, the faithful trip to healing, you know, when you're not done, when you could choose to be in panic mode, my question is, what is the advice that you could give someone in the beginning of a panic moment that could grip them? Is there something you can remember from the beginning, a landmark or an anchor or a way that you thought about it? Relating to your trip of faith towards healing, what can anchor these beginners, these first moments of fear or panic in this type of situation?
That if you lose hope, you've already lost. Mm.
Oh, that's good.
In your mind, you have to tell yourself, no, this is not the end. This is what they're saying, but this is not the end. I'm going to go ahead and plan my cruise for next year because this is not the end. And I literally say that. I've told cancer patients, you plan that. No, you plan that trip.
That's right.
You plan that family. You plan how many kids you're going to have, and you write their names down.
That's right.
It's a vision
of
seeing yourself further than the now. When you feel that panic, you see yourself further. You say, God, no, you did not bring me this far. He said, you know, we know he will not never leave us nor forsake us. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen.
Yep.
So you don't see it. It looks ugly. It sucks. You're not understanding it. But you just have to cancel all of that when you start and say, no,
amen,
I see those things. And you physically take yourself there by planning. When you plan, You're going to get there.
That's right. And we're planning that beach trip, by the way. We're planning it.
Yeah. Yes. Now, Angel.
That's it. Yeah.
That's we have less than a minute left, but your children are both cancer-free.
Oh, yes. Both are cancer-free.
Hallelujah to Jesus. That is awesome. Thank you for coming and sharing. Jennifer, we've got 30 seconds. Will you take us out?
Yes. You can find study guides as well as messy to meaningful lessons from the junk drawer at monicaschmelter.com. We want you to use these tools to help discover your most beautiful life, one biblical truth at a time. Thank you for joining us today on Bridges.
Amen.
Would you like to be a part of a Bridges Studio Audience production? Visit monicaschmelter.com/calendar to sign up.
Prayer changes things. If you need prayer, write to the address on the screen. Call 615-754-0039 or email prayer@ctntv.org.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.